The following episode contains strong language, references to drugs, alcohol, and tobacco, and scenes of terroristic violence.
Right in the center, where you would normally expect there to be like a living room kind of set up, it's mostly empty space. This is a very sparsely decorated apartment, like not a lot of furniture. There's a body kind of laying on its back, arms outstretched, like one up and one down. And what's notable about it to you is that there are streaks of blood that are clearly painted coming from the body to form a set of bloody wings.
As if force a habit, Brock reaches into a pack of cigarettes that's probably been sitting inside of that coat pocket for years, lights it up, and walks into the scene.
And then as you get closer, you realize that written right below the right arm, almost like a signature, just in the blood, says Laserhawk. And I think it's at that moment that you get a call on your phone from Data Kraken.
Hey.
I've been doing some sleuthing, of course. I'm at the hut, of course, obviously.
Essentially, what you're seeing, based on context clues, is security footage. Looks to be from Big Iron Penitentiary.
Uh-huh.
You're seeing a couple guards in armor kind of standing around in front of various doors, when suddenly a black sort of smoke just seems to billow in from the outside and kind of just covers the whole space. And there's audio. Everyone was kind of just shooting the shit, and suddenly you're hearing like some screams and the sounds of gunfire.
What the hell is that?
And all of a sudden the smoke just kind of like goes away. And you see all of the guards are on the ground. Some of them look absolutely like pummeled, likely dead. And the doors that they were in front of are all now open. What you're also noticing is the nameplates above the doors that are now open.
Ooh, what are they?
Vapor Kappa, Crystal Tiger, Acid Armadillo, Glass Peacock, Midnight Hydra. Who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck are you? I just saved your life.
My apologies. I am, you can call me Glass Peacock.
We're friends of Laserhawks.
And he stares daggers at you when you say that.
We are all on the same side right now.
That remains to be seen, depending on how your good friend behaves when he arrives. Our last encounter was not civil, let's say.
It's been a long time, Brock.
And in the darkness, you just see two red eyes with yellow irises looking back at you.
Hell of a way to get my attention. What do you want, Lion?
The gas attack, Brock. They did this to us. And now we're gonna leave you for dead. But first, I suppose, there's a bunch of vermin to take care of. And perhaps even a few bugs.
What are you planning?
Good night, Brock.
Lion!
And the room is filled with ash and then suddenly is empty.
I call Pam.
Rock, what's it's 3 a.m. What's up?
Eyes on the back of your head. Stay alert. Danger is coming.
Laserhawk, you just got off the phone with Hornet, informing her of the potential incoming dangers posed by the deserters. What are you doing now?
Calling Ruby.
Ruby, do you sleep with your phone on?
I would say that I would have Laserhawk and like the emergency contact that can get through.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all each other's emergency contacts.
Specifically on the superhero phone, which I imagine might be what you're calling.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's just, I pick it up and I'm like, hey.
I need you all to get to the old hut now.
Wait. Oh, Brock. Hey, sorry, just waking up. The old hut, you still have that place?
I sure do.
Oh, all right. You said that. It's still wild to me that you have that place.
Yeah, look, I figured eventually I was going to need a place to A, hold someone, that B, wasn't my house, which C, really turned out to be useful. D, I don't have time to talk about this because E, he was here.
Wait, who was there?
Lion was here. I think my family's in danger.
I'll get there. Let me grab Yardak. I'll be there as soon as possible.
Get Kit too.
And so I go and wake up Kit and Yardak.
Okay, so you specifically slept at the laser hut.
Yes.
It was like a big slumber party.
Well, I guess Brock's currently at the laser hut. You're at the laser home.
Yeah, I think I slept on the barracks here because, one, if those people are, like, tracking me, I don't need them going back to my house.
Two, you can make yourself a really nice bed, so why the fuck not?
I wake up those... Is Bethany here, too?
That's what I was going to say, is that since you slept at the hut, Bethany, who was with you in the van, is there, too.
I kind of nudge Bethany awake, and I say, hey, I have to go check on some things. You can keep sleeping if you want.
What's going on?
I don't know. Laserhawk said he needed us, and I think it's dangerous. I think you should stay away from the danger.
The three most powerful people I know are going to leave me alone when there's danger afoot.
The danger comes to us, so you being away from us is the safe bet.
He is not wrong. Also, is there still a union agent here?
I guess Kevin Lewis probably stayed over too.
What about Rickard? Wasn't Rickard there?
No, Rickard is specifically with Pam.
Yep, you're right.
You're on the phone, you're getting Bethany, and you're convincing her to stay.
And I go, and I think, Kit, Brock was saying he wanted you in the pit. Do you know what he wants you working on specifically?
No, I figure I'll give him a call. What's going on?
He said Ash Lion was there at the first laser hut.
Excuse me?
This was the first thing I heard when I woke up. So I'm right there with you, buddy.
And then you did it to me. Great. He puts a hand on his chair and he concentrates for a moment. And you hear as like storm shutters are basically coming down around the hut.
I'm imagining I got everyone up and like literally made them a cup of coffee. And I was like, at least you had coffee first.
Thank you very much, Ruby. And Lewis just popped awake. What's going on?
Make coffee. Hand to Lewis. Apparently, Ash Lion paid Laserhawk a visit in the first laser hut.
Oh, okay. That explains the storm shutter thing going on here. And you're going to go meet up?
Yardak and I think we're going to go check in with Brock. And I'll try to convince Bethany that here is safer than there.
Bethany, stick around here. And Bethany rolls her eyes and goes, okay. And Kit says, so you two are leaving then. Right? You're going to go meet up with Brock?
Yes, we're going to go meet up with Brock.
I'll open a door for you to get out, Ben, in a moment. But Kit then points at Lewis and says, if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Union Agent Man, can you, like, sweep the building or whatever it is you guys do, given that we weren't in lockdown mode? And Kevin, a little taken aback, goes, yeah, sure. Pulls the gun out from under his pillow.
His name is Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin starts going and doing a sweep. Bethany is waking up still. Kit points to you too and says, go time?
Yeah.
Click. He's got the pit open, so now he's on the computers there and he clicks a few things and like a small set of the shutters open up. He goes, all right, have at him, you two.
Genuine question. Do I park the visual van in the laser hut?
You have in the past. It's not like established that's like what you always do.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, let's just say it's open up big enough that I can drive the visual van outside.
All right, yeah, sure.
God, where was the original laser hut?
To the left of the river.
And I think I remember. I start driving there.
To the left of the river. From which direction, Dan? That doesn't mean anything.
Oh, Ruby heard the Yardak say that, and just went, I'm ignoring that.
For the record, if I was DMing, you'd be getting a hero point right now.
All right, fine, he gets a hero point. Hey!
Yay!
You're gonna need it.
I wasn't even trying to be funny. Just remember on the map, I was to the left of the river.
First off, it's to the right of the river if you're looking at the map. Second off, I guess I thought you were just going like, if you're on the Kirby Bridge heading to the north end, it's technically on the left.
Yeah, that's because remember we were doing the thing where me and Ruby were driving back and his ass was flying through the fucking sky.
Yeah. Let's
continue.
Then
we went left.
Let's move on. You've got your hero point. Be grateful.
I wasn't even trying to get one. I was given a direction. I'm fucking MapQuest over here.
And you're making your way to the laser hut. And Brock, what are you doing then?
While all of this is happening, the first thing I do after getting off the line with Rumi, I walk to wherever the fuck Glass Peacock is sleeping, and I nudge him.
Well, if you remember correctly, you didn't go to sleep. You specifically were, like, staying up and working on something, kind of nodding off.
Oh, I remember I was staying up, and he fucked off to go to bed, right?
Yeah, he went to where your bed used to be, basically.
Yeah.
And he wakes up with a start, and he raises a hand, and he's got a bunch of glass shards coming about it.
Yeah, that would have been great 5 minutes ago.
Oh, God. Sorry, you know, waking up in prison, you never know.
Whew. Well, don't start to feel too comfortable. You just missed the reunion.
Oh, who's here, darling?
They're alive.
And his face drops. Excuse me?
Lion was here.
I thought you were taking me somewhere secured, somewhere safe, potentially. And he walked right in? I didn't hear a battle go on, so...
Wait, question. This is Rachel. Glass Peacock would already know he's alive, right?
He's been assuming.
Okay.
Yeah, remember they said last time they didn't see anybody, they just have been assuming based on powers.
We finally got the confirmation.
He said, I didn't hear sounds of a battle. Did he walk right in?
He sure fucking did.
Did you have a nice tea time? Tell me more.
He threatened my family. More importantly, to our concerns. Yours. The 12s didn't toss.
Oh.
It was the fucking 12s this whole time.
Wait, did what exactly? Just to make sure we're on the same page here.
Spark. It.
Ah. The big old gas.
Part of me knew the whole time, you know. Just didn't want to accept it.
I mean, I always had my suspicions, but at the end of the day, it didn't seem worth questioning. You know, they did send us right into the belly of the beast, but... That's neither here nor there. Is that what he came to tell you?
That's about the gist of it.
And then he just... Left?
With intent to go hurt someone that I care about. Still don't know who, but yeah.
Okay, and what are we waiting here for then?
Backup.
I see. Okay.
I don't think that the two of us are going to be able to handle it, so...
No, not if he has his own backup, that's for sure.
I figure if one of them's alive, that means all three of them are, right?
And I wonder what that means for my compatriots.
For the record, I don't want any of you dead.
I wouldn't blame you if you did, but at the same time, normally you're a more... honorable gent than they ever really were. And he goes and he stands up and he dusts himself off. He puts a hand on your shoulder. He says, well then, let's put some coffee on, perhaps.
We might as well wait. The shit that Ruby makes tastes better than the shit that I've got.
And she makes coffee?
She's a nifty one to have around. Help you redecorate. Help you make a splint when you break your leg.
Yeah, the huts were not that far from each other, so it's not too much longer that you all arrive in the van. And this facility doesn't have a lockdown mode, so you probably pull right back in.
Yep. Just throw the door open going, what the fuck now?
Why is our life like this? I guess mostly your life, but it feels like all of our lives.
Because I thought it'd be a good idea to enlist one day, Ruby. I don't know what the fuck to tell you at this point.
Glass Peacock just goes, 9/11 was a hell of a time.
God, let's not. We don't have time to go into that right now. Ruby, can I get 2 coffees, please?
I hand 2 coffees that materialize out of nothing.
And I hand 1 to Peacock.
I really thought you were just going to drink both of them. He takes the 1.
I thought about it, but I'm in the enemy of my enemy is my former gay lover.
Please, can that be the title?
No.
Why did you do that while I was actively drinking tea?
I am so sorry.
You were drinking tea and got tea.
Can we say that my laser huts are connected, so that way we can still talk with Kit, like, easily.
You said that you got the power back up and running in the computers last time, so I'll let you do that without even using Hero Point.
Oh, you're so good to me, RC. You're gonna kill one of my friends today, aren't you?
Friends is better than son.
You got in and you were able to hotwire, the system's back online.
Reconnect the thingamabob to the what's-a-hoobalinjankin', and I, scream out, Kit, have we got ya?
It's a weak connection here. Once you moved out of there, I never thought we'd really have to worry about it again.
Yeah, I was hoping we wouldn't have to, yet here we are. All right, what have we got so far, Kit? Have we got eyes on Rickard and them all at all? Do we know that my family's safe? Can we start there?
Brock, I wasn't even tracking them. I figured it was best that we had no way of knowing where they were.
Shit, that's a fair point.
I mean, you said you called them. Call them back. Find out where they are.
I called them a little while ago. I didn't fucking think to ask where they are. Give me 1 second. Beep, boop, boop, beep.
Go over Rickard.
Hey, where the fuck are you?
We didn't establish any kind of, code here to let me know you're okay and that you're not being,
Rickard, I swear to fucking God.
Brock, I'm looking out for your family. You gotta let me know. You gotta have some way to let me know you're not under duress.
I promise he's not. Does that help at all, honey?
Ruby, I at least know that y'all are together, but, like, that I gotta know that no one's under duress.
I don't know. Do you want to FaceTime?
Actually, that'd be great.
Click. Does a full 360 turnaround.
Are y'all in the old hut?
We sure are.
To which Peacock goes, oh, I got brought to the old location?
Yes.
Look, Rickard, there's a whole lot to unpack here.
And I just turned to Peacock and go, yes, we don't trust you. Like, I feel that feels fair. Like,
look, there's a whole lot to unpack here that we don't have time for. Where are you? So we can keep better eyes on you.
Gotcha. We're a couple hours outside of town. We're pretty much on the border with Rhode Island.
Kit, you hear that?
Yeah, Brock, I got you.
Good. You are absolutely not coming back right now. They're alive. The deserters are alive. I don't know if Pam would have let you know about that.
I mean, you told me there was danger coming.
Yeah, that's the danger.
One of them paid a visit here, apparently.
Yes, Ash Lyon was here maybe a half hour ago now.
Okay, Brock, broad strokes. All right, so we're not coming back to Riverside. Where do y'all want me to take them? Am I peeling ass and heading north? Am I?
I'd say just keep moving for now.
All right, so we should check out of the hotel is the short version, though.
Yeah, don't stay in one place for too long. Stay a night, keep moving. Hopefully this isn't going to take long.
Oh, no. Is there any kind of off-the-book site that you have access to?
You know what? I got one place I know is 100% safe still. The original laser hut safe.
Y'all, are y'all saying I gotta go back? We're driving to Highwind?
I want you as far away from here as possible. That's the only thing I can think of.
I mean, that's fair, but I'm gonna be passing back. We're gonna pass back through Riverside then.
Okay, I was gonna go, honey, I meant, is there a Union, like, safe house that you have access to? Something like that?
I mean, not one that I got, but I can definitely check in with headquarters.
I think it might be a good idea to have them have his family completely off the map.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree.
It worries me how fast Ash Lyon got here. I think he's able to travel great distances quite quickly in a way that does not make sense.
When we saw him able to transport other people by turning them into ash, it's not that much of a stretch to imagine he can do that himself.
Yeah, but Brock, we're talking about the Big Iron, right? I mean, that means he got across the country in just a couple hours.
I know, Rickard.
Which is why I don't think you can outrun him. I think you just need to go somewhere he doesn't know about.
All right, I'll reach out to headquarters. I'll find a place that's off the books. I'll just give you a little thumbs up when we got the A-OK.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
All right, please take care. Y'all check in with me. I'm probably going to turn my phone off once we're at the safe house, but I'll do a periodic check.
I love you.
I love you too, Ruby. All right, what are you doing now?
Ruby's gonna make a couple of daggers and just, stick them in her, the holsters that are in her boots.
Just all over her body.
I mean, kind of, they're going in her boots. And I was like, I'm just getting prepared if they show up here again.
Do you always make yourself the same kind of daggers, or do you make, different daggers for different situations? Like, do you have throwing and stabbings?
I mean, I think they probably look similar, but they're, a little different. Well, I'm going to, call Kit and be like, hey, is there anything I can do to help find people right now? I'm at this other laser hut. I've got the computers that are here.
I'm shit with technology, and unless I'm just, swimming the fucking river, I don't know.
I mean, that can be an option to, be patrolling or something like that.
Should we be out there looking for them? I have no idea where to look. But that's why I figured I would call Kit and see, can I assist you with anything?
I mean, we need eyes. I can look at the occasional CCTV camera, but I've got Bethany scouring the net right now, seeing if anybody's posting shit.
All right, Peacock, you're with me.
Oh, okay, Brock. Laserhawk, what are we up to?
I guess we're looking around to finish the mission.
Duly noted.
And if you need me, you know how to reach me. I'm patrolling the shores.
All right, so you're going to patrol the shores, and then Ruby, what's your plan? I assume that Laserhawk, you're going to talk about flying.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick to patrolling the north end. As far as we know, they're mostly going after Brock, and this is the area where he's known to be around.
All right, so y'all are just going to kind of be surveying the general area.
And I'm going to say, let's all just keep our comms on right now. We don't want to be caught unawares. And then is Kit in our comms as well?
His system at the laser hut, he definitely can be a part of it. And then, I guess, so we've got Ruby in the north end, we've got Yardak patrolling the seas and the river, and then roughly, approximately, where are you thinking about checking out, Laserhawk?
I'll be
cold and dead in the ground before I let the plot happen on the west side of town. I'm going downtown, baby.
That is the west side of town.
Oh, actually, it might not be a terrible idea to check the Centennial, because knowing my luck, they want to try and kill my fucking family.
You're gonna head towards the Centennial with Glass Peacock?
Yup, I'm not gonna let him know why. I don't need him knowing where my family... Oh, actually, this is a terrible idea. Someone else should check where my family live.
I mean, I'm in the water, unless you're gonna go fucking orca yourself through these waves.
Well, swim on land, bitch!
If you wanna patrol... if you wanna patrol the North End, I can go check out... where your family lives.
Sounds good to me.
Change of plans. I'm driving the visual van to the Centennial.
Okay, so you're gonna cross the Kirby Bridge and head over to the Centennial. Meanwhile, Yardax can do the seas, and we've got, given that it is the largest location, we're gonna have Glass Peacock and Laserhawk doing the North End.
Take to the seas.
Whipping fat sky donuts.
Whipping fat sky donuts. God damn it, Brandon. There's your second hero point.
Yeah! I would like to edit the scene to make my family safe now, please.
No.
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 No. Hey out there. Brock continues to ride the struggle bus this arc. Hope the Midnight Wars is striking your fancy. A few quick announcements to go through since our last release. First off, we are helping with Control-Alt-Quinn's efforts to support the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society this month. LLS has been on the cutting edge of blood cancer research and helps support families impacted by the disease. So to make a donation, take a look at the link in the description. We debuted two new heroes in a recent livestream. Dr. Haze and Storm Fury appeared in Smoke in the Air, where the two were pulled into a case in Highwind City after a mysterious fire. If you didn't get a chance, you can see the episode on our website or YouTube channel. Speaking of live streams, if you're listening to this on release day, we'll be doing another one. Redacted Rangers members Sapphire Shadow and Tatitude will return for The Great Teslite Caper. After a mission goes haywire, the two are recruited to perform a heist in the underground. That'll be live a little after 7 p.m. Eastern on Monday the 19th. You can find links to all the things mentioned in the show notes of this episode. If you haven't seen, we've also started releasing calendar posts, so you can keep up with everything we're releasing. Those are available on our social media pages, as well as on our website at masksandmayhem.com. But for now, let's get back to the game. But if everyone could roll me an investigation check.
26.
24.
Nat 20.
Nice.
Which would be a 27 overall.
With those numbers, then, we're going to say that Laserhawk, you're kind of taking to the skies. You're seeing, like, reports about, like, rather normal crimes. Nothing that really stands out particularly. You know, an armed robbery. We're talking about domestic disturbance. There's things going on. You know, there was a street brawl with 30 people.
Fuck off. One time.
Amazing.
Yardak, I will say, in terms of an investigation into this, nothing has particularly stood out to you. You did, however, touch base with, like, a Coast Guard boat and kind of, like, you know, you let them know, like, hey, here's what's going on.
Imagine if you were one of those Coast Guards, you would shit yourself if a man just popped out of the water. Hey, I'm looking for a mass murderer. You seen one? And then I just, blunk.
So that also means now, just for the record, the Coast Guard, the Riverside City Police, and the Majestic 12 are all aware of what's going on. Oh, and you know what else, Yardak? You get a call from Ruth Day.
I somehow have a waterproof phone, and I go, hey, Ruthie, what's crack-a-lackin'?
What's up, Ruth?
I assume that you, like, have a spot on your suit where you can, like, a waterproof pouch.
Oh, yeah, that also tracks. Okay.
You just keep a phone in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah. It just trails behind me as I swim.
Again, why isn't it in your suit? Why does it have to
oversight.
Be?
Yeah, hey, Ruthie, what's crack-a-lackin'?
Hey, yeah, been hearing about what's going on. I don't know why you didn't call me earlier.
Do you have intel on this? What the hell?
I mean, just about, I found out about the body, and then I found out about the connection to Laserhawk, and then I heard, that y'all were sighted up in Paladino Ridge. So, like, some stuff's going down, right?
Yeah, shit is getting fucking real, my dude.
Yeah, we also had word that, some higher-up from the Majestic 12 was in town.
Yeah, Lewis's dad is in town, so that's its own can of worms, and then this guy named Ashlion from Laserhawk's past. I think he's the one committing all these murders. We have this other guy, some kind of peacock, but with glass knives. It's everything is crazy right now. Like, are you okay? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm downtown. I'm at my apartment. I got word now that y'all are patrolling the area, so I'm putting pieces together. What can I do?
work your usual magic, I guess. I'm off the shore right now. I can come in and meet up with you if you can find out anything by the time I get there. She's with SAS now. Yeah. And be like, I mean, maybe you can ask anybody at SAS if they know anything. Literally the smallest piece of information could help.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be glad to look into it.
All right. And then I'm going to make my way to you.
Okay. So you're going to head into downtown.
Yeah.
And then Ruby, when you get to Centennial, you're heading in the direction of Carl and Bev's house. You're not seeing like a ton going on. Like from high up above in the sky, you hear shoom, shoom. The closest thing you can describe it as is what looks like a flaming meteor coming down towards the city from up in the sky. And in the distance, you see that it hits an abandoned shopping mall and it lights up in flames.
What?
I took my phone out and filmed that.
While screaming, oh shit, world star.
Yardak probably didn't see it from like in the sea, but if they're flying, Glass Peacock and Laserhawk definitely did.
I took a video of it and then I send it to them and I go, does this look like any of your old friends?
I fly there.
I'm heading there now.
That is a visual aid. You're like a mile away at this point. Like it's within visual distance. Or not even a mile. Sorry. You're like a quarter mile away now.
Okay. I drive up. And I also, is it like on fire?
Yeah, it's like actively like, you. That's why I'm saying like they can see it from the sky. This place is like lit up.
I also call 911 to get the fire department. I call with like the visual aid phone. I go, this is visual aid. I just saw some kind of meteor thing come down on this abandoned shopping mall. It's definitely like it's on fire right now.
And the operator goes, oh, thank you, visual. We have firehouses inbound right now.
Do I see anything when I get to the abandoned shopping mall?
You're getting there and it's on fire and some people have like showed up and like they're kind of standing in like a perimeter and they're like, there are people like taking video and just discussing like, oh my God, you see it? It came down from the sky, came out of nowhere, right? Like are we being attacked?
Okay. And I want to look around to see if anyone's using this as a distraction for something else.
Not as far as like you can see. I mean, if you want to do like a perception check, but like nobody that you immediately see looks like a problem.
Okay, I might as well make a perception check. Might as well roll something. 10 overall.
You're looking around at the crowd and you see like, you know, everybody looks very focused on the fire. You don't see anybody who looks like they're about to pull some shit.
I'm trying to think if there's any way I could help with the fire, but it'd be really helpful if we had the water dude, but he's not around.
Glass Peacock and Laserhawk, you're arriving, and by this point, the fire's gotten big enough that even though you're on the opposite side of downtown Yardak, you can see the flames are getting like pretty high.
We said it's in the north end, but where, like, is it closer to like the water that I can just kind of like come on a big wave?
The fire's in the Centennial.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, especially with the water treatment plant right there, too. I'll like come in with water, and then if I need more, take it from the treatment plant and start trying to put out water.
So, at this point, you land. I assume you're landing, or are you staying in the air, Laserhawk? What are you doing when you arrive?
I mean, you said this was an abandoned shopping mall, right?
Essentially.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do a quick sweep in the area to see if I can find the fucking zoo lion that set this fire.
Alright, roll a perception check.
Busy bet. 28 altogether.
Yeah, at the moment, the darkness of the sky and how late at night it is, you're not really seeing anything.
I turn to the man flying next to me and scream, so there's no way this is a random arson, right?
Oh, absolutely not.
Want to dive into danger for old time's sake?
After you.
Let's go sweep the building, and I fly into the burning building.
All right.
Could I say that I see that happen?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone sees that.
I call Brock. I was like, are we getting into the burning building then?
I'm getting into the burning building. I'm not gonna say that you need to. You're a little more susceptible than I am to the dangers of this.
Can I make like a firefighter suit?
You might be able to make something that's fire resistant. Definitely not anything that's fireproof.
And I go, I can make an outfit. And I put an outfit on and I, fuck it, I'm headed into fucking fire.
Okay.
This is Rachel's worst fucking nightmare.
As you're heading in, you see, like, the fire trucks are starting to pull up, and you also see, like, you know, as normal, there's, like, an ambulance that comes along with it. And as the three of you are heading into the building, you are hearing, like, some people, like, yelling and such. Like, help! Help!
God damn it.
So I'm close enough now to hear?
No, Yardak, you're arriving right just a moment after they all head in.
Mm.
Could I roll an insight check to see if I think this is a trap?
Sure.
I swear to God, we're about to get fucking Green Goblin Granny.
24 overall.
I mean, as far as you can tell, yeah, this is a legitimate, like, cry for help. And it's coming from, like, somewhere, like, inside one of the stores inside the mall.
Can I see if I recognize any of the voices?
You definitely don't.
I head towards the voices, and I yell back, and I go, do you know where you are? Do you know what store you're in? I'm trying to find you.
No, and please, just help. And, like, you're following the sound of the voice. And you see, like, a boarded up store that you think the voices are coming from, and it's just surrounded by flames.
Can I make water?
I think we've established, like, not enough to deal with a fire. I think we established this the last time there was a fire.
If the door is boarded up, can I say that I show up in time to maybe blast that open?
Yeah, you definitely hear it. Let's say the three of you meet up around the same time, and you hear this voice.
I literally go, where's the guy with a bunch of water when you need him?
Bang! I'm shooting down the boarded up part so they can get the fuck out.
Boom! The board explodes, and you hear someone go, ah! And you hear the sound of, like, a body hit the ground.
God damn it.
And then I look at him and go, where's the healer when you need him?
You see someone limping along with someone else and says, there's more of them. They need help. It looks to be like a group of homeless people.
Ah.
Guys picked a real shitty place to shack up. I guess I fly in and I scoop up some homeless people.
All right. And Yardak, basically, yeah, you're getting in right at, like, a moment after they went through.
Mm-hmm.
The fire trucks have pulled up. They're starting to, like, douse the flames. Like, this is a raging fire.
Okay. I got an extra thingy, so I want to try to power stunt and be really cool.
Okay.
Okay. So I want to, because I can move water. So I want to get, like, a big giant ball of water around me, and then I just lift myself out of the water and go over top of them and then just let it all go.
Okay, let's roll a water control.
No, ho, ho, ho. Nat 20, baby.
Yay.
All right, nice. What's that for a total of?
Hell fucking yeah. Yeah, so 30.
You're able to get up there, and you let out this big, like, ball of water. And while it doesn't put up the whole thing, that combined with the others is starting to have a real good effect. Like, you're starting to beat back this fire.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it's like three fire trucks have pulled up, and then another two ambulances have pulled up. And it's around this time I'd say that Laserhawk and Visual and Glass Peacock are starting to help the homeless people out. There's like six of them.
Mm-hmm.
Around that time, that's like I said, that's when they're starting to really beat back the fire. And what are you doing when you get outside?
I mean, I want to fly back in to figure out if this was just a distraction or if they were trying to destroy something.
I guess what I'm asking is specifically, what are you doing when you get out of the building?
Flying back into the building.
All right, so you're just dropping the homeless people on the ground? Like, that's...
Drop them off by the firefighter people and then fly back in. There's people here more equipped for this shit than I am.
Okay, and Visual Aid, what are you doing?
I think I'm mostly helping the people get out right now, but I'm also, like, while I'm helping people get out, I'm, like, trying to look around to see if I see anything suspicious.
All right, so yeah, we'll say that, like, you know, Laserhawk dropped them off and flew back into the building, and you're kind of dropping them off. One of the firefighters comes up and says, visual aid, right?
Yeah.
I saw you loaded a couple injured. Where are the rest?
I know Laserhawk is looking. Do we know how many people we think were in this building?
Well, you loaded out all the ones that you found.
We brought out everyone we found. I don't know how many people are generally in this building. Do you have any kind of idea?
And he looks at you with a quizzical look as, like, three more ambulances pulled up, and he said, the report said that there was a ton of injured.
What report?
They said that you called back and that there was a bunch of injured.
I never called back. I just called the one time.
Huh. And a moment later from the sky, you hear shoom, 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 as more rains of fire just start falling down, hitting the fire trucks, hitting the ambulances, hitting the rest of the building. Laserhawk, a piece of it hits the ceiling above you, and a piece of scaffolding falls from the ceiling and pins you down.
Can I just say, is the guy I was talking to still up? So, like, he's still there?
I mean, I think you probably both hit the deck, but you're still next to each other.
And I just look at him and I go, there's a serial killer coming after us. And that's all I say. And I go.
And Laserhawk?
Can I perhaps make any form of dodge check before I get pinned down in the burning building?
Let's have you make a dodge check.
Also, the visual was really fucking cool.
Thank you.
Thank God, 26.
Yeah, as the building part that you're in starts to collapse, you're able to successfully dodge out of the way. You're still trapped in the burning building for the moment, but you're not pinned down at all.
I hate this for me. Is it just me, or did Peacock rush back in with me?
Since you didn't specify that you were bringing him along, I'll say that he was with Visual, and he hit the deck with her and the firefighter.
Awesome, that makes it easier for me to get out. I'm gonna shoot a hole through the fucking ceiling.
Alright, and I'll say that Visual, you and Yardak see that. Yardak, what are you doing, by the way, when this all started raining down? Yeah, to be clear now, like, all of the fire trucks are on fire, all of the ambulances are on fire.
The people dodged out of the way.
Because I brought all that water with me and, like, dropped it, what I want to do is, like, pick it all back up and then, like, take it and, like, throw it against more flames. And then as, like, the flames, like steam, take the steam, make it into more water, and just continuously throw it on the flames and snag the water back out of the air to try to put out as many flames as I can.
You're going to have to roll this with a -5 penalty.
Okay. Well, it's at 18 plus 10, so 28 minus 5 is 23.
Okay, I'll say that you were successful. And what were you trying to hit specifically with this new set of water?
The fire trucks and the ambulances and, like, goats. Take it back. Take it back.
Yeah, like, you're working really hard at this, but you're able to, like, when you popped onto your feet, you were able to, like, start immediately, like, shoom, shoom, throwing this water out.
I mean, yes, I'm doing it because I want to fucking save people, but also I'm thinking, this is such good PR for Union. Like, out there saving the first responders' vehicles and shit.
And then, Laserhawk, you said you shot a hole in the ceiling, right?
Yeah.
All right, you said you're going to try and fly out?
That was the plan.
So, as you go to fly out, you suddenly feel something wrap around your leg and pull you back down to the ground.
Yep, was waiting for that, and I'm running to fucking sock Chain Buffalo.
And you see him, he's decked out in this, like, big metal mask that's, like, a variation of the one he used to wear. He looks way more ripped than he used to be.
I'll kill us both, Buffalo. I don't give a fuck!
You know, don't doubt it.
So Ruby definitely saw the hole.
Yes, you both definitely saw the hole get shot out of the ceiling.
But I didn't see Laserhawk come out of it.
Correct.
Ruby's going to assume that means something happened and is going to run back inside.
All right, and Yardak, are you still working on putting out the flames?
Yeah, well, I mean, how are they looking?
You're making progress, but there's still, again, there's just so much that's on fire, it's going to take you some time.
And I have the comms, and I was going to say to Yardak, I was like, I'm going to go check in with Laserhawk and see why he hasn't come out yet. And then I grab Glass Peacock and I go, you're coming with me.
Give yourself a hero point.
And I go, I might need a ride out of here. You gotta come.
All right, he's running alongside you. Chain Buffalo just yanked you out of the sky and pulled you back down roughly to the ground.
This guy's jerking my chain.
Make a firefighter-esque suit, I guess, with wings for Glass Peacock?
No. I can't. I'm going to need flexibility if I have to get us out of here.
Okay. I imagine the flavor gear I made to run in the first time probably got damaged by the fire, so I'm making a new one.
All right. I will say, just from a combat perspective, that since you're not used to fighting in this, it's going to give you a -2 penalty.
Okay.
And with putting the flames out, like, if it's, like, looking semi-decent, I kind of want to be like, hey, like, can you guys take it from here? I got some asses to save.
Remember that there are no fire trucks anymore.
Do you guys got it from here? Smoldering.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you might have put out the fire trucks, but, like, the building itself is still on fire and also more on fire now because of all of the hell rain from the sky.
Yeah.
I do actually, as we're running back in, I do call 911 again. I go, this is visual aid again, but actually this is only the second time I'm calling. The fire trucks are now on fire.
Well, smoldering wreck now.
Visual aid, it sounds like we're getting false reports coming in. You're saying that the fire trucks were attacked?
The fire trucks were attacked, yes.
We've got a bunch of false reports of other fires in the city. We're kind of being pulled in all directions.
And I go, there's a group of people coming after one of our heroes, and I think they're purposely trying to pull resources away.
I'll see what we can get down there, but everything's a little far out at the moment. Yardak, I will say that if you are to leave at the moment, these things are going to start catching, and the fire will be uncontained again.
Dan, you are the fire truck.
Okay. I just, like, open my mouth, and, like, water squirts out, and it's just like, woo, 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 woo.
Nope.
Yeah, that's how they work.
So, what are you doing, Laserhawk?
I'm punching Chain Buffalo in the jaw with my foot.
All right, roll an attack check.
Hell yeah, brother. 27. Get fucked, Yoga Hoser. DC 25.
You clang, and I'll say you kick him actually in the face because he pulls you, but he didn't expect you to kind of fly down at him like that.
Yeah.
You definitely, like, dent his face mask, but he definitely seems, compared to the last time you fought him, like, stronger.
You're supposed to be dead, buddy.
Not this time, Laserhawk.
Oh, this time, asshole.
And he's going to go to try to grab you. What's your parry plus 10?
Parry plus 10 is a 20.
He hits you. He actually crits. So we're going to make opposing strength checks now.
16 altogether.
16. All right. He's got a pretty good grip on you now. He actually goes to kind of, like, squeeze you, and, like, the chains are wrapping around you as he does. So you're going to want to roll a toughness check.
24.
24. You are going to take a -1 to future toughness checks.
I hate that for me.
And it's around that time then I'll say that Visual Aid and Glass Peacock, you come around the corner and you see this scene playing out. And Glass Peacock goes, oh God.
Fuck it. I want to make like a giant metal bat and just like try and just wham into this guy.
Okay. You can make a bat. That's not a problem considering you, like you said, you kind of made some weapons. So yeah, roll an attack check.
Roll for that. 31 overall.
What is the DC on that?
It'd be 20.
Like you hit him and you basically like the bat dents in a little bit.
Well, at least I'll have distracted him for a moment.
Oh, yeah, he does actually look right at you.
Ruby looks kind of badass with her giant ass bat in fucking flames.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's see here.
Hey, asshole. I thought you're supposed to be in the ground.
Making new friends, Laserhawk, I see.
I'm gonna kill you.
Not likely this time either.
And I go, new friends would imply that you were old friends. You don't seem like much of a friend to me.
In the back of Brock's mind, she doesn't need to know that we were tight.
moments later, Ruby, you feel a rush of air as a bunch of glass shards like fly past you. And Brock,
No, not Brock.
Yeah, Brock, you're going to want to roll a toughness check.
This raggedy bitch. Well, I'm using a hero point.
What was your total? All right, I mean, I guess you don't... Yeah, I guess you have to...
I rolled a fucking 2, and this time I rolled a 5. But the good news is that gets bumped up to a 10 because of the hero point, so that's...
No, it gets bumped up to a 15.
Oh, Nino Bobino, but with the minus 1, that's a 14. So all together, that's a 24.
The glass shards, like, hit you, but you activate Saint Skywalker's armor in time that they don't, like, actually penetrate into your skin. Basically, when Glass Peacock went to throw these, Chain Buffalo turned and put you in front of him. Yardak, roll me another water check.
Dirty 20.
Okay. You're starting to finally kick back these flames. Like, you think shortly enough here, you'll have it, like, fully doused.
Mm-hmm.
Laserhawk, let's have you try to roll check to get out. It would be specifically, you're going to make either an athletics or an acrobatics check, whatever is the higher for you.
Okay. That's an 11 on the die plus... Well, so that's 23.
After he had to move to, like, concentrate on getting you in front of the glass shards, he let go just enough that you're able to break free.
Wonderful. Taser fist. Right to the junk.
All right, roll that attack check.
So that's a nat 20.
Nice. Also, you said you used a hero point earlier, right?
I sure did.
Okay, and so nat 20 for a total of?
That's a 30 altogether.
What do you want to do with your crit?
Give him a vasectomy.
I guess I'm going to add 10 to my, or 5. 5 to my DC to make that a 30 altogether. Please tell me I at least herniated a testicle.
You punched him, and he flew back like a foot or two, knelt down barely, and like grabbed at his junk and went, you motherfucker. Visual Aid, what are you doing?
I want to try to use illusionary damage and make him think the flames are coming towards him.
I forget exactly with illusionary damage.
DC 25... Alternate resistance will.
I mean, it is things are actually on fire. You could just put them in a wooden box.
I'm trying to use my new powers, Dan.
Yeah.
What's the DC for the will resistance?
25.
Immediately, he starts like yelling, like ah, and he starts like patting at flames that you can that you can see, but the others don't, and backs up, and he's just like screaming really loudly. Glass Peacock goes to try to hit him again. Oop.
Oh, actually, could I try to... Can I use one of my hero points to take another move?
Sure.
And I want to hit him with that fucking bat again.
Go for it. I mean, you get extra effort, and then you're going to use the hero point to burn the fatigue.
26.
What was the DC on that?
20.
The bat just seems to kind of dent off of him, and he's more focused on the flames that don't seem to go out.
Can I get rid of my bat and then just make a sword?
Yeah, I'll let you do that.
It looks like I'm throwing off the bat, but it actually like disappears when I'm doing that, and then I create a sword. Because I think that sounds fucking cool.
Oh, absolutely. Yardak, make a dodge check.
Oh, fuck me up. Yes, 27 altogether.
All right, and roll a toughness check.
Plus 16.
As you're getting kind of the last of the flames kind of doused out, suddenly another shoom comes from above and you see a giant flaming, like, to you it looks like a meteor almost.
Fuck these dudes.
You dodge out of the way moments before it hits, but you are just seared along the side and you're going to take a -1 to future damage.
Bitch.
What you see coming from above suddenly is a giant, like, cloud of ashy darkness.
I wonder who that could be.
And it forms into the shape of a person who has a long, flowing mane of dark hair and 2 red eyes with golden irises. And he says to you, Yardak, and he goes, I'll give you 1 opportunity to leave. My quarrel is only with Laserhawk.
How close am I to the water?
I've been grabbing water, so I assume decently close.
I'm like a little like worn out because like I've been fighting fires, literally. And so like my hands are just kind of down at my side. And then when he says like, I give you one chance to leave, I just take my hands that are at my side. I just take the one and I swipe it up and to the left and just blast him with water and go, nah.
All right, roll that attack check.
Oh, 7 plus 10 is 17. Wait, I still have another hero point. I can add 10 to that.
Yeah, reroll.
Okay, it's a little bit better. Now it's a 21.
Yeah, that's actually not going to hit.
Fuck.
We'll say that he swiftly dodges out of the way and brings up a wall of flame and kind of evaporates the water as it gets near him.
Mm-hmm.
So be it, Atlantean. And then we're going to jump back inside where Chain Buffalo does go. he goes to whip at you with the chain, Laserhawk. What's your dodge plus 10?
I'm the negative one to toughness, so that's going to be a 20.
The chain swings and comes a little short and hits the ground in front of you and makes a spark just from the rusty rust on it.
Neat. I'm up next, right?
I mean, we're not in like an official initiative, so if you have something that you were going to do, I'll let you go next.
Plasma grenade, bitch. 25.
25? All right, that hits. And what's the DC?
23.
23. The grenade explodes and pushes him back, and he flies through a wall. And he cries out and he goes, "Arg!" Yardak, you see Ash Lion like turn and respond to that, turn back and glare at you, and immediately turn into ash and fly like into the building.
Oh, I fucking hate this for me.
And you see this cloud of ash move into the building, and suddenly, Laserhawk, you just see it like envelop the whole area.
I hate my life. I hate my life so much.
And then it all flies through that hole you shot in the ceiling earlier.
I fly after it.
You know what? We'll say acrobatics.
Well, that's easy. 24.
Yeah, you're kind of keeping pursuit with them as they're kind of following, basically. Again, this is just a giant cloud of ash that seems to be following along the roadway, like heading west out of town.
Please tell me Vulture followed.
You don't see anybody else.
Oh, that's fine. I'll be here fucking rolling a new character. I'm following the two villains by myself. I don't like my odds here is the joke.
This intel drop is brought to you by the Masks of Mayhem Ko-fi. The Black Cat is an ambitious project from first-time director Ruby Lawson. She had the idea of making a movie about a female spy who had to prove her innocence after being framed for murder and being chased down by her former agency while watching a show with her filmmaking partner, Bethany Fletcher. She heard a throwaway line and thought it sounded more interesting than the rest of the show. She also worked very closely with friend and lead actress Ezra Jenkins and was so inspired by her that she named the lead character after her. The movie has the character Ezra, having to get around the city under the cover of darkness, trying to outrun her former friend and partner to prove her innocence. They end up at a cat and mouse game throughout the whole movie, using how well they know each other to try and outwit each other before having an intense confrontation where they both have to decide whether the loyalties lie with each other or with their employers. The movie was well received by critics who were impressed that such a low budget movie had such a solid script and was able to have so many effects shots. We hear rumors that Lawson might have a sequel in the works, but she's also been working on more mainstream projects such as Space Cadet and the new Code of the Road movie. This intel drop is brought to you by the Masks of Mayhem Ko-fi. You can give a one-time donation or join at a monthly membership to get cool perks. Find out more at ko-fi.com/mayhemcast.
And so as you're pursuing, they're kind of dodging, you know, in between buildings and stuff, and you're keeping pace with them. The thing starts flying high, high into the sky, like into the atmosphere, and you're kind of starting to get a little light of breath. And then you see the ash turns back into Ash Lion and Chain Buffalo. As they start falling out of the sky, you just see Ash Lion letting out another like torrent of fire towards the ground, and you see cars are kind of like curving out of the way and crashing, and it's just basically setting this entire street on fire, leading away from the scene.
Oh boy, howdy. That sure is a great getaway plan you have. Be a real shame if you got Megasonic Missile about it.
All right, go for it.
27 altogether.
You said 27? And are you just targeting the one?
Yeah, I'm gonna double down on Ash Lion, because if Ash Lion gets KO'd, Buffalo's just gonna fall to his death, and I have to do nothing.
Interesting theory you have there.
DC on that's a 26.
This attack fires into Ash Lion, who gets the whole brunt of it.
Hell yeah.
He's just crackling with laser energy as he's falling, and you see him as he's falling, and he begins to thwip and turns back into Ash, catching Chain Buffalo.
Can I use a hero point as a reaction to try and grapple him before he turns into that form?
First, you're going to have to roll the results of your attack check on yourself.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, that's a 13.
Versus a DC of 26, I believe you said. Actually, sorry, did that take your negative one into account?
No, that would be a 12 then.
12? Okay, same result in that case, actually. So you're negative 2 now, dazed and staggered. But if you want to use that here, if you want to blow your last hero point to try to do a grapple, you can.
I mean, if I don't, then I dazed and staggered myself for nothing. So let's do this.
Yeah, we'll say with how good you were at the acrobatics earlier that you're able to, like, maneuver yourself closer during the attack. And, roll that attack check.
29 altogether, 19 on the dice plus 10.
That's going to hit, and now we roll a contesting strength check.
Okay. Jesus Christ, another 16.
You've got him, but you don't have much of a grip on him. Like, he feels like he's about to easily slip away. And then he's just like, he said, "You son of a bitch.
I will kill you."
Can I hit him with a fucking grenade real quick?
Well, before we do anything else, what are the others doing? Because from your perspective, the enemies just flew away.
Well, I ran directly to Ruby. Like, after Mr. Chucklefuck decided I'm going to go, woof, I went, okay.
And then we still have Glass Peacock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, can you fly after them? Where the hell did they go?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if that's what you want me to do, I'll take off.
And I go, I don't, take me with you.
But like now, dill hole.
And I go, can you fly us after them?
Sure, hop on. And he just goes, phew, 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 and he takes off through the hole. And you're able to see this kind of battle going on. You see them from the distance as you're catching up, you see the megasonic missile go off.
And as that happens, as the farther she gets, I just want her to look back and see me getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I'm just there.
And I go, Gerardak, I'm on Peacock's back. We're trying to head towards Laserhawk.
And Laserhawk, you hear that as you're grappling with Ash Lion.
Now you show up.
You've been gone for seconds.
Why was a peacock on my ass?
Well, I do have one to ask. Gerardak, how is the fire looking?
Well, I guess it was almost out, but then Ash Hole decided he was going to bring some more fire down.
Ruby's going to literally taking lives from the good place now.
Hi, I'm dying and you're talking about the good place.
You're going to go there.
You could be going there.
Yardag, you're trying to put out the flames then? That's what you're working on?
Yeah, so I guess I'm just a fucking fire hydrant this episode.
And then what Laserhawk, Peacock, and Visual Aid see, as he's falling, you see Chain Buffalo actually, like, whipping his chains around, and basically, like, creating a bit of a vortex.
I hate this. I hate my life.
I want to try and, like, just throw a dagger at the chains to see if I can, like, disrupt the flow of them.
Okay, roll that attack check.
I'm trying to decide whether I should use a hero point to reroll.
You got one left.
Fuck it, let's do it. Now I rolled a 15, so that should be 18.
Unfortunately, that is still going to go a little wide. We'll say it kind of clangs off of his chains. He is not, like, flying, like, in the way that Laserhawk or any of the others do.
Falling with style.
Yeah, he's doing a controlled descent, basically.
We still haven't seen Blood Vulture. I fucking hate this.
And then, Laserhawk, you suddenly feel Ash Lion's entire body start to catch fire. So you're going to want to roll a toughness check. As he is just, like, basically lighting his entire self up.
I rolled a 1. That's a 9 altogether.
So you have two options here. You let go in time to not take the full brunt of the damage, or you hold on still.
I let go. Fuck it.
I mean, I kind of thought this... We haven't even seen one of them yet.
I know. I know.
You let go as the flames just, like, hit you. You take a negative 1... But he immediately doesn't even give you a chance to respond and turns to ash and flies down and grabs Chain Buffalo.
Dude, I just let myself fall to the ground. Brock's so fucking defeated at this point.
If he does that, Ruby's gonna, like, make a net to catch him.
I follow him. I'm about to lose him again, but I follow him.
The ash just picks up pace, and eventually you lose him in the night sky.
Brock flies to the nearest rooftop and sits down.
All right.
Just sits the fuck down.
All right, so you just landed on the building, and if that's the case, then Glass Peacock kind of descends in and drops off. I'll say he keeps his distance and lets you off his back visual.
He's like, I'm gonna go over here because this is awkward.
Brock and I aren't that close anymore. I take it that you'd be a better comfort to him at the moment. He's in one of his moods.
You mean all the time?
It seems to get worse over time.
Hey, Brock. I wish I could sit here and be like, everything's gonna be okay, but I'll be honest. That sucked. I promise we're not gonna let this go. We're not gonna let them get away with this. And I go, is there anything you need right now? Anything I can get you?
Coffee.
I make coffee.
Yeah, it is like 4 a.m, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I make a chocolate chip cookie and be like, I feel like you could also use this.
Thanks.
Well, I guess, Yardak, you're finishing up on getting these fires finally 100% put out now.
Mm-hmm.
More ambulances have shown up to take away the various bystanders and those who were kind of hurt. Pretty much everywhere from around the city, like, there's people, like, coming to put out. We'll say you also followed the trail of fires that were made during the pursuit to eventually catch up with the team.
I reach them, and I'm like, guys, what the fuck? Yeah, I've been putting out these fires left and right, and I get that you were chasing the actual fire, but left me behind.
I'm sorry, you were the only one that had any chance of putting those out, though. Especially, I can't believe who tries to burn down a fire truck?
I mean, maybe they mistook the name and they misunderstood.
They also went after the ambulances. I think they were just assholes.
I know. So what now? Like, what happened? I mean, you were too far ahead. I mean, did we kick ass? Did we get ass kicked?
We lost.
They got away.
Fuck. What should we do now?
I am going to sit here until shit starts to blow up again. Because what else can we do, Yardak?
I mean, maybe not sitting here specifically, but we can regroup with Kit. We can, I don't know, something.
It's not a bad idea.
I was meant to meet Ruth, but then we got sidetracked by these flames.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about that.
I just remembered that. yeah, I was supposed to meet Ruth, but then got sidetracked by all the, you know, destruction of the city. So, I mean, I can see what she's found out from her contacts at SAS, or, I mean, what other kind of contact she has. I mean, she basically is the dark web.
A question Rachel is asking. She knows where the laser hut is, right?
I believe Ruth has been there.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Ruth come join us at the laser hut. Either one. Who knows at this point?
Fair.
This feels like an all hands on deck situation.
You know, I think you're right.
I think Glass Peacock is next to you, Brock, and he puts a hand on your shoulder.
I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna kill them all.
Usually I would try to tell you that's not the way, but I don't know. These guys seem worse than normal.
I need to say it. We need backup. Peacock, we need the rest of the platoon.
Oh, fuck.
We need the Midnight Gang.
I mean, your guess is as good as mine as to where they are.
Then we start tearing the city apart.
Hey, that I would not disagree with. I would like a few hours more sleep. And you look like you could use some sleep.
They're not gonna rest, so neither can I. You do what you need to.
Brock, you need to rest.
Some more people can die, so they can kill another one, so they can get to my family!
It's at this time you do get a thumbs up text message from Rickard. A lot of you do.
Your family is safe. If you collapse from exhaustion, you won't save anyone.
I can't sleep.
And I go, I understand. You need to at least try and relax.
Brock, I agree that we must take them down, but it's not happening tonight. He's just like observing all the wounds that you already have. You're pushed to your limits. Even if we find them right now, I don't think you're in a shape to survive. And if you're not there to survive, who's going to help your family?
Fine. And I fly back to the hut.
I look at Glass Peacock. Can you fly me back to my van, which hopefully didn't catch fire?
I didn't even. All right, since I never thought about setting the van on fire, the van's fine.
You got lucky.
Yeah. I know, I think that is completely a character. I was like, can you fly me back to my van? Which hopefully isn't, like, burned to the ground.
Ah, yes, sure. I don't think I can carry both of you, though. Are you able to make your own way back, Yardak? Or should I come back for you?
Yeah, actually, yeah, fuck it. Like, no, just I'll head to the river and then I'll meet you guys there.
All right.
Maybe grab Wreath and bring her back to the hut.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to bring her through the water, but I can send Wreath a text and meet us there.
I don't mean physically grab her, for the record. Yeah. We are not talking literally. That is a character she's kind of scared. Your deck will be like, wee!
Glass Peacock takes you and flies you back to the van. And he says, I don't know specifically what the deal is if Brock leaves me alone with you, so I'm going to assume I stay with you.
Let's go with that.
Also, I guess I don't know where we're going, so.
I call Brock. Hey, I've got Peacock with me. Are we going back to the first hut? Or are we going back to the main one now?
I don't give a shit.
I like hang up and I go, cool, guess you get to go to his house now.
I mean, if you need to blindfold me again, you need to blindfold me again. I'm not going to complain.
He's like, I like it.
And I look at him and go, what the hell have I, like, walked into?
So, Yardak, are you meeting up with Wreath or are you just, like, messaging her?
I'm messaging her. I'm like, hey, I'm going to jump into the river now. I forget where she said she was, but I'll meet you here and then I'll hop in your car and we can head to the hut.
She says, sounds good. And it sounds like the lot of you all just kind of meander your way back.
Mm-hmm.
I think in order it would make sense that it would be Laserhawk, Yardak, and then Visual Aid, just in terms of your methods of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go inside when you get there, to be clear?
I think I drive the van in.
Yeah. Okay, so you park the van inside.
Yeah.
And not long after, you hear the distinctive honk of Ruth Day's car.
Oh, thank God you're here, Ruth. Today's been a shit show.
Yeah. Tell me about it, buddy. Do I park my car inside? Do I leave it out here? Is it safe out here?
Yeah, let's bring it inside. It's better to be a little more unseen.
Cool. And she pulls the car in, and she scratched around her car. You know how Wreath herself was always a mess?
Yeah.
And she got her life together. Now she has a car, and that car is a mess. So, you know, it always just transfers somewhere.
Well, you said distinctive honk. Is she, like, playing La Cucaracha? Like,
no, she's got a pretty cheap car, so it just goes, it's, like, half broken.
Oh, no.
So she pulls on in and she's scrounging through and she pulls out a stack of manila files and she looks at you, Laserhawk, and she said, I fucking figured it out.
What?
I've been hearing through the grapevine. My understanding is Majestic 12 went like dark, right? And Kit's eyes pop up and go, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she plops the manila files down on like the big conference table. She starts pulling stuff out. She's like, not long before all this shit went down, they had a break-in. And I was able to pull some strings to kind of find out what went missing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know the specifics, but I figured it can't be coincidental. They got a big break in, they went offline, and then all this shit started happening. And then the fact that they got people coming in town and a big wig, it all feels connected, right? I got this report. I don't know what this is. And she hands it to you, Brock.
I look through it. Jesus fucking Christ. They've got enough of the fucking gas to change the city.
What?
They've got enough of the shit that turned me into this to infect the whole fucking city.
To do, like, what they did to you?
And Kevin Lewis comes out. He was in the kitchen. He comes out and he's hearing you talking this. And he's like, and if I remember correctly, Laserhawk, that gas killed half of your platoon.
Sure fucking did, Lewis. So what do we do?
Do you think we can get Kit to start looking up any recent land acquisitions here in the city? You know, if they have all this gas, then they have to store it somewhere. And I know that they have their own base. If maybe there's like people are start buying up like any industrial places. I mean, we might be able to find them.
Or maybe even CCTV or anything like that of people like going into more abandoned places. If they didn't just blow up that mall, I would have guessed that.
And Glass Peacock pops in and goes, and Brock, wherever, presumably if they have a large shipment of anything, that's probably where they're also keeping the Midnights.
Presumably. Doesn't help us figure out where it is.
And that's when Kit goes, all right, we got a shit ton of people here. It's been a long night, everybody. I say we get some shut-eye, and we crack at this thing in sunlight hours.
If you can convince him to sleep, and I point at Brock, fucking miracle worker.
I'm already flying up to my room.
I think I just sit on, like, one of the couches or something, and I go, it's been a long-ass day, and I think it's only, like, 5 in the morning, right?
Yeah.
I'm with Kit. I need to get some shut-eye. I think we should maybe have someone stay awake in case any, you know, people make more surprise visits.
I mean, I guess I can be on first watch.
Chapter 78, The Midnight Wars, Part 3.
Masks and Mayhem uses the game Mutants and Masterminds 3rd Edition by our friends at Green Ronin Publishing. Check the link in the show notes to get your own copy of the game. You can also help support us by making a one-time donation or becoming a monthly member through our Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/mayhemcast. A reminder to check the link in the show notes to help support the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society this month. This episode was written, produced, and crushed by the weight of defeat by myself, R.C. Byler, with production assistance by Brandon Brownson. Our logo art is by Jen Evans, and our font is by AJ Eisen. Our theme music is by Pope Brandon Brownson. Additional social media links, blog posts, and episodes can be found on our website at masksandmayhem.com. Right, and this has been Chapter 78, The Midnight Wars, Part 3. What'd you think?
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was very, like, Marvel-esque with, like, the fire raining from the sky and Jane Buffalo and...
I also loved, like, the twist of, like, what do you mean? Like, you called again. And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean I called again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, there was a couple opportunities where if you had, like, done a little better or specific roles, like, I would have been like, oh, like... You realize, like, a little early on, but, like, it worked out just enough. I was like, oh, no, this is going to be a surprise attack.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It sounds like everybody had felt like they had enough to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, sounds like you thought that this was the a potential wrap-up.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be a three-parter with how short you told me the season was going to be.
No, I've got some buffers still.
Fair enough.
When have we ever wrapped things up quickly, Brandon?
You're right.
You're keeping about what I expected. I've started tapering my expectations.
Took you long enough.
You tapered your expectations with us in the time travel arc refusing to say anything about our plans.
Yeah, taking like half an episode longer than I expected a scene to play out.
In our defense, we were right.
You were half right.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm right all the time.
We were right that it was like suspicious that they were trying to someone was trying to get plans out of us, and we're like, no, we're not gonna mention them.
That's fair. So let's talk about this episode though.
No, I think it's like it also feels very like Avengers, and like we're getting everyone together, and everyone, like all of our more local NPCs, have something to do.
I'll say, I didn't get to recap it, but right now in the hut, there is the three of you, Kit, Glass Peacock, Bethany, Lewis, Ruth. I think that's everybody at the moment.
Oh, what? Cafe and Bodega.
And Cafe and Bodega, of course. Power level X, of course.
God, I want them to get powers. If they release this gas and anybody gets powers, I want it to be Cafe and Bodega.
I'll say that would really suck. Two events in 1 year that do shit to people.
And each dog has the power of life and or death. And then we're like, they're like, oh, pet me, you die. And then the other one's like, oh, I bring you back.
But no, it's Cafe and Bodega. Like they end, like, it's like one can see the good things that happen in your life and one can see the bad, but they can't tell you about any of them, but they're just barking at you, trying to warn you.
Oh my God.
So what did you think, Brandon?
Dude, I'm so fucking exhausted. I am emotionally tired.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a great thing. That means I got into my character tonight because Brock's fucking exhausted.
I guess did any of you really, but more specifically, Brandon, did you see that twist at the end coming?
I had a feeling that either my wife was about to die or something catastrophic was about to happen to this city.
Hey, your ex-wife.
Yes. Thank you, Ruby.
Yeah.
Continue to rub salt in the wound.
Oh, hey, just a reminder that girl you're crushing on is in town right now.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Ruby, can you make Brock a Prozac prescription?
I love a prescription, not the Prozac, because I don't think I could make Prozac.
Yeah, no, that's a compound chemical.
I was like, yeah, Ruby, how good are you at faking receipts? Anyway, I hope that you all did enjoy it overall.
Twas fun.
Good. Rapid fire, final thoughts. Yardak.
Yardak went this episode.
What does that mean?
I was a fire hydrant.
Jesus. Visual aid.
I'm sorry, I'm still not over Dan, whatever the fuck that was.
That was me spraying water out of my mouth.
That was a lot of fun. I would like to hit that buffalo guy more with my bat or get the chance to stab him because he's pissing me off.
That's fair.
I don't know. It's some asshole with horns.
And Laserhawk.
My tally count's uneven. I need to get 3 more kills next episode.
Wow. Dark Brock.
Brandon's getting ready for Brock to get ready for a funeral.
Just a question of whose.
Maybe even my own.